three soloists we've gathered together today to share some camaraderie. Buddy Green, Allison Durham Spear, and Gordon Moe for the hour.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
We're going to put the plural version of the word friend to good use today because we've got three around the table. It is Gordon Moat, Allison Durham Spear, and Buddy Green for the hour.
Give it up for us.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think you three could get in trouble. You know, when I was thinking about this, I got two very talented, or at least known from by the masses as being really good musicians and also vocal talent, and you've got Allison in here and you've got beauty and vocal talent, and my goodness, you could like have like I'm thinking
beauty, beastliness. Yeah. It's all represented in this trio right here.
Gordon Green Spears, here we come. I don't know. You guys, thanks for taking time to spend it with us. We're gonna have some fun today.
Well, glad to be here. I always, you know, I always look forward to a time on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Well, you sure do.
Okay, mornings, we all have them. What I want to start off with is just to kind of get to know you guys individually. And Allison, we'll start with you first. What is your ideal morning routine? If you talk to people like Andy Andrews, people like Michael Hyatt, leadership type people, they'll say that starting it off with kind of a routine, whether you're a morning person or not, whether you get up at 11:50 or 6:50, doesn't matter, but as long as you have a routine, what would be your ideal morning? Your day is going to be great if you only get this in.
I would wake up, put my feet on the floor, and not have any pain. Now, that would be the ideal morning for somebody over 50.
Feel your pain. I do.
And a good cup of coffee that Brian would bring to me in the bed. Yeah. That would be nice, just in case I was feeling pain.
Now, this sounds hopeful. I mean, this is not realistic, is it?
That's realistic.
Is it?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Now, I usually get up and have a good cup of coffee and sit out on the porch, or if it's, you know, if it's nice enough, sit out on the porch, have a good cup of coffee. And then when my coffee cup is empty, I go to work. That's my day.
Gordon, what about you?
Wow, only one cup of coffee? That is discipline at the highest level. I get up, and if I'm really disciplined, I'll go up to the bonus room and get some cardio in, do the bike, do the elliptical. Me and Parker have been working out a little bit. That doesn't happen every day, but that happens more days than it doesn't. And then as my reward, I'll go down and get a cup of coffee and go out on the porch. I love my screened-in porch. We have a patio and a screened-in porch. We love to be outside. So if it's nice, I'll go out on the porch, and I've got speakers out there, so make sure, you know, put something on, whether it's ESPN or whatever.
Or Daniel Britt and Friends.
Well, sure, Daniel Britt and Friends. If it's airing, you know, get my quiet time in. Just try to get all that done before I go to the studio. And most mornings I'm able to get most of it done. But I love my coffee. I love just kind of hanging out with Kimberly and just kind of talking to her before we both start going crazy. Kimberly's the busiest woman I know with our three children, just chasing them all over the place and all that. But mornings, we're both morning people. We love to get up early and get started and get rocking. And coffee's a big part of that.
And I've talked to you in the morning before, and I hear the birds chirping. You're out there a lot, I think.
I am. I love that. Matter of fact, you know, a lot of people ask me about the song Don't Let Me Miss the Glory. They say, well, how can you sing about that having never seen all those images? The first time I heard Don't Let Me Miss the Glory, I was out on my screened-in porch. And I just remember hearing all the birds and feeling the wind and the sunshine on my skin. And just, you know, I just, you know, it's such a comfort to know that the God who can make those birds sing, you know, makes the wind blow, can tell it to stop whenever he feels like it, wants to be in control of my life, too. And I'm in pretty good hands if he can control the whole universe. So, yeah.
In the view from the mountains, there's a story to be told. In the crashing of the ocean, there's a power that no man will ever hold. the stars in the heavens, decorate your handiwork, and like a mighty choir, they've come to celebrate your worth. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the praise. The dance of the faithful, you will find the greatness of our God above. In the prayer of the righteous, in the beauty of your grace, in a brand new morning's mercy, all your memories of my sin have been erased. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let me miss the praise that all creation is singing to the honor of your name. Don't let me miss the wonder.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. We're sitting today and talking with Gordon, also Allison Durham Spear, and Buddy Green. All right, Buddy, ideal morning routine. Your day is going to be good if these things kind of are in place.
All right, well, I'm a realist, so my ideals don't reach too high. But because I'm kind of like Allison, I mean, I'd really feel your pain about getting out of bed and your feet hurting first thing. I mean, And for like 6 months, I've been battling this condition called plantar fasciitis. Yeah. Anyway, it's an inflamed tendon in your heel. And so, yeah, you hit the ground, and it feels like somebody jabbed an ice pick in there. So I'm usually sitting there. First thing in the morning, if I'm thinking clearly, I'll stretch my feet a little bit before I get out. This sounds like a message from a retirement home, doesn't it? And then I creep out of bed. No, but then I
brought to you by AARP.
That's right. No, then I'll head downstairs. I'm usually up as soon as light starts coming through the blinds a little bit. And so it's early, and I'll make some coffee. I'm usually the first one up, and I love that I got the whole place to myself.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah.
And if it's nice mornings like we've had lately, I get out on the deck, mm-hmm. and just listen to the world wake up. It's just, there's nothing like it.
No.
It's beautiful to hear the birds come alive. And although lately, there's this crow that's been...
Why are you pointing to me?
You know, you're hearing all this. No, I'm sorry. There's, you know, you got all these nice birds chirping, and then all of a sudden you hear this, you know, come through there. So I may start sitting out there with a BB gun, see what if I can eliminate that.
But isn't that just like life? My wife will not buy a painting from an artist if it doesn't have dirt in it.
If it doesn't have dirt in it?
Yeah, it's got to have a little dirt somewhere. It'll just be real, you know.
Well, you have a crow every now and then.
I guess you're right, yeah. I mean, you know, God made the crows, too. But I have I sit out there, and I drink at least a couple of cups of coffee, and I spend about an hour reading, and I really love to read the Bible first thing in the morning.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's when it really comes alive for me, for sure. My mind seems to be more coherent.
That's right.
You know, I'm sharper. As the day goes, I tend to get a little dull,
that's
you know.
That's right,
so,
yeah.
I'm just the opposite of that. I like to read in the afternoon.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. And I have a little shed where I do my work and make my jewelry. And I get out there and I'll make my jewelry for several hours. And then I'll say, okay, this is done for the day. And that's where my study time comes in. Yeah. After my pressures of work, then I can spend the rest of my afternoon reading anything I want.
See, for me, it would be too late because my day would be shot by then.
You're a lot older than I am, buddy.
That's Buddy Green, Allison Durham Spear, and Gordon Mote. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
My life flows on in endless song above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet, though far off hymn that heralds a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm. While to that rock I'm clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. Oh, how can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm. While to that rock I'm clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
Play it, Kevin.
Joys and comforts die, the Lord my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gathers round, songs in the night he giveth. I lift mine eyes, the cloud rolls thin, I see the blue above it. And day by day, this pathway smooths, since first I learned to love it. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Fountain ever springing, all since I am his. Oh, how can I keep from singing?
Sing it once.
No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? My inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
Buddy Green, sitting today with Buddy, Gordon Moat, and Allison Durham Spear on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Well, let's jump in this. I got a quote that I read the other day, and I thought of you guys when I read this, because isn't this just like folks who use the arts to, creative people. Leo Burnett says, "Curiosity about life in all of its aspects, I think, is still the secret of great creative people." You think it's true? Does it drive you to sing a new song to God because there's this curiosity that just won't die within inside you? Gordon.
Wow, that is a good quote. Yeah, I think, you know, it's cool because my little one, Ashton, my 7-year-old, he's got lots of questions. And he'll ask, you know, lots of questions about God and why things happen, why things are the way they are. And it's the other day I told him, I said, "Buddy," I said, "that's a question Daddy has." I said, "Daddy doesn't know all the answers." And I said, "And the longer you live, the more you'll realize that that's okay. Because, you know, as long as we're still asking questions, then, you know, then we're in good shape." And he's like, "Well, Daddy, you said you did know all the answers." Well, not quite. But Ashton is my curious one. And I love that because he keeps me on my toes, you know, because he'll ask me things that I haven't thought about, you know, or how do you explain this to a 7-year-old? Or, you know, how do I make this make sense to him when it doesn't make sense to me? But I think as long as we, you know, I think God made our brains to work on a much higher level than sometimes we allow them to work on. But I do think God's okay with us having questions because he made our brains to think. And I do think as long as we stay curious, I think it will drive us to him because he is the one ultimately who has all the answers. And if a question causes you to write a song that might cause someone else to maybe have the same question but also find their comfort in the same God that you find yours in. You know, we all sing to a lot of church people, but we also sing to a lot of people who wouldn't darken the doors of a church except for a concert.
Sure.
And
sure.
So, you know, the key is to sing songs that will drive both churched and unchurched people to seek the answers from much higher power than us, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's good.
Good. What do you guys think about that? As artists, you know, I think that's a term that some of us feel. How do you get on a bus or get on an airplane and go sing the same handful of songs every weekend over and over? Now, the audience, it's fresh to them, but to you singers and musicians, I mean, it's the same one over and over. What's that drive inside you? Is there a bit of curiosity, as this person said?
Yeah, I think that's a great quote, too. And, you know, the curiosity thing, I think that is what drives us as creative people to write a song or rearrange something or just, you know, approach our art the way we do. And the I was reading recently somebody talking about how modern man's tendency is to see life as a problem that needs to be solved. Mm. And it's really, there is no way to solve the problems in a fallen world. But there are ways to approach the world with creativity. I mean, that's our best shot right there, is come up with creative ideas that arch over problems. And I like that idea so much better than trying to come up with the ultimate solution to something because, you know, I mean, that's what kind of leads to wars and fights that can't ever be settled, that sort of thing. But creative solutions, well, the one that this person cited was, she ended up saying, quoting the Apostle Paul when he said, "It's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but what's needed is a new creation." Oh. And I thought, that is great. I never had seen that application to what Paul was saying, but I think that is a lot of what he's saying is, you know, it never was a Gentile or Jew problem. Yeah. Yeah. It was God's making this. He's making new creation, all things new, and that is something much more exciting than just finding the solution to a problem.
Yeah. You agree?
I do agree, and I know from my own creativity, I kind of ask questions, and I want to see if anybody else is asking the same question. So from my art, I get a lot of answers. Yeah. You know, if I am curious about something in God's character and I begin to study that and write a song about that, and then somebody, just one person, comes up and says, you know, I've never considered that before, thank you for reminding me of that, then I realize, okay, the Holy Spirit has led me down a path that he's led generations of folks down before me, and it makes me kind of find my center in Jesus. You know, and know I'm not out there and kind of wacky all by myself, that I am a child of his just like all the generations before me.
That's the voice of Allison Durham Spear, and we also have Gordon Mote and Buddy Green here. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
We'll cry holy unto the Lord. I cry holy unto the Lord. Oh, now if I could, you know, I surely would stand on that rock. Oh, where Moses stood. Oh, well, I ain't no stranger now. Oh, well, I ain't no stranger now. Oh, well, I've been introduced to the Father and the Son. No, I ain't no stranger now. Oh, 'cause I'm crying holy unto the Lord. Crying holy unto the Lord. Oh, now if I could, you know I surely would stand on that rock. Oh, where Moses stood. Your face, sinners run and hide your face. Sinners run to rock and hide your face. I cried out, there's no hiding place. Oh, well, I'm a crying holy unto the Lord, crying holy unto the Lord. Oh, now if I could. No, I surely would stand on that rock. Oh, where Moses stood. I'm a crying holy unto the Lord. Oh, now if I could, you know I surely would stand on that rock.
Buddy Green, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Gordon Mote and Allison Durham Spear also sitting around the table with us and listening to some great music from each of these. And by the way, some of them are artists and musicians. I've got a question coming up about that. But the last thing we talked about was about curiosity driving an artist, driving any of us, keeping us from burnout. Now, here's a good farming term probably, right, if you deal with cattle. Ruminate. Ruminating. Isn't that a good word? What piece of truth, and again, this kind of piggybacks to what we just talked about, What bit of truth from God or principle of scripture or theology have you been ruminating on lately? Yeah, I feel like maybe every year, every couple of years, we see each other, and maybe we're talking about a different aspect or a different focus. That is, you know, buddy, you mentioned something that you've heard, that quote about Paul there that just kind of stuck out to you. Gordon, what about you?
Gosh, I guess I've been in several different places. Our pastor is preaching a sermon series right now called Hallelujah Anyway. And basically just taking us through some of the different characters of the Bible, people, just, you know, from anybody from Job to you know, the disciples to, I mean, you name, he's just all these characters that he's taken us through and kind of given us a little look at their lives and what they had to be grateful for and then what happened to them that wasn't so good. But hallelujah anyway, you know, we all have ups and downs, but I just think of, you know, I'm about to, you know, I've got a daughter going into college. She's about to start her freshman year. And I think about how God has been so good to us. You know, we have three children. She's my oldest, 18, and Parker's 15, and Ashton is 7. And I think about how good God has been to us through the good times, the bad times. We've certainly had peaks and valleys as any family. And our ministry has been the same way. But God has sustained us. He's kept us by his grace. Yeah. So hallelujah anyway, And so I guess I talk to so many people. You know, you think you've had a hard week, and then you got on the road and you hear stories from the people that you sing to. And it's like, wow, I have nothing to complain about. And they're saying hallelujah anyway. So I've really been kind of focusing on that. Through the good and the bad, God is still God.
The devil laughed and said, I've won. God has lost his only son. The brightest star no longer shines. Finally, this world is mine. Then he gathered all his demons near. He said, we have conquered love with fear. Meanwhile, back at the cross, all is not lost. Forgiveness is bought with each drop of his blood that falls to the mercy abounds as Mother Mary's tears fall down to see her precious son pay the cost. The devil said, we'll use their pride, we'll attack them from inside. Fill their hearts with vanity till their differences are all they'll see. Black and white, rich and poor, to justify their holy war. Mother Mary's tears fall down
at the cross.
Gordon Mote, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Today talking to Allison Durham Speer, Gordon Mote, and Buddy Green. Asking also, what bit of God's truth have you been dwelling on lately? Buddy, what about you?
I'm cheating a little bit. I pulled out my iPhone, yeah. Which I have a copy of the message on here, and I was with a bunch of old people this week. I was with a seniors ministry and playing some music for them, and this was their psalm, and I knew about this psalm, but I'd kind of forgotten about it. But don't turn me out to pasture when I'm old, or put me on the shelf when I can't pull my weight. And I went, oh, amen.
Yeah, right.
As I'm creeping up on
plantar fishitis or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. But the other thing I loved was, and this was the encouragement from this psalm. It says, God, you've done it all. Who is quite like you? You who made me stare trouble in the face, turn me around. Now let me look life in the face. I've been to the bottom. Bring me up, streaming with honors. Turn to me. Be tender to me, and I'll take up the lute and thank you to the tune of your faithfulness, God. I'll make music for you on a harp. And then earlier he said, you got me when I was an unformed youth, God, and taught me everything I know. Now I'm telling the world your wonders. I'll keep at it until I'm old and gray. God, don't walk off and leave me until I get out the news of your strong right arm to this world, news of your power to the world yet to come. Your famous and righteous ways, oh God. Oh God, you've done it all. Yeah, love that.
That's good. That is good.
That's good stuff. I have been reading a lot of Jewish writings here lately, and I just finished Elie Wiesel's Night, and it's one of the most disturbing and beautiful and moving accounts of a child's life during the Holocaust. And through this whole book, Elie goes through great faith and then in the suffering decides to throw his faith aside. I'm just at the end of Night, and there's a sequel, I think two more or three more. And I have been searching the meaning of suffering. And in my heart, I know around in my family, there's quite a lot of suffering going on right now. Faye Speer has Lou Gehrig's disease, and seeing the folks who are in my life suffering and having all these questions and unknowns and just fumbling our way through the days, it draws me back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy says, know this, God, your God, is God indeed, a God you can depend on. He keeps his covenant of loyal love with those who love him and observe his commandments for 1,000 generations. In the midst of suffering, God still keeps his covenant promises with us. And 1,000 generations hadn't passed. We're in that. And it's 1,000 times 1,000 and 1,000,000 times 1,000,000 with God. We are still in that covenant promise that God is going to be our God forevermore. And this present suffering one day is all going to be just fleeting second memory.
So hallelujah anyway.
Hallelujah anyway.
I boast not of works, nor tell of good deeds, for naught have I done to merit his grace. All glory upon him, so willing to die in my place. I will. peace, my crumbs, my robe stained with sin. 'Twas all that I
Allison Durham Spear. It's Daniel Britt and friends talking today to Allison, Buddy Green, and Gordon Moat.
Hey, you guys come from, I'm assuming, cooking families. I mean, you can't get into gospel music without knowing how to eat. Thinking back, whether it's your grandma, your great-grandma, an aunt, or maybe in your own immediate family now, if you could bottle up this specialty, this is what your loved one is known for, your family is known for, something sweet or a meat or a salad or I don't know. But if you could bottle it up and sell it, you'd make millions.
Kimberly's homemade from scratch chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Does she get requests for that a lot?
Yeah, for me.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Kimberly's such a great cook anyway. I mean, she just cooks, you know, and like when people come to visit, you know, they don't want to say, oh, we want this, because they think it's too much trouble. But we have some friends from Norway that come to visit us every year, and they have like four or five things that they want her to cook every time because, you know, she's a great cook. But, man, if I could sell that homemade from scratch chocolate cake, I don't know what her recipe is. I know she's played around a little bit and tried this and tried that and all that fun stuff. Yeah. But, man, it's just fabulous. Oh, my goodness gracious.
That was good. What about you, Allison?
If I could put in a jar some of my granny's chicken and dumplings, I would be multimillionaire right now.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Cracker Barrel, they'd go out of business.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's so important about the chicken and dumplings from your grandma? Were they the fat kind? Were they the
fat kind?
What other kind is there?
Yeah.
The fat kind of fluffy kind, and she had she put a lot of butter and a lot of salt and pepper, and it was just and real chicken, like the chicken, the whole chicken, and we ate them faster than she could make them. They were just incredible. Like she was.
Yeah. Do Presbyterians have a history of cooking?
It's a dismal tale with Presbyterians, let me tell you. It's, you know, all my, if it's good memories for me, it does come from the older generations, it seems like. Like, I loved my grandmother's cooking. Both of them were just great cooks.
Yeah. Mine, too. My grandmother was a great cook. Homemade biscuits every morning.
But yeah, all it took was a couple of generations to get to my wife, and that's all forgotten. It's like,
you might want to want to cut that out, Daniel.
No, she'd say the best food memories we have are at a restaurant. And
you hide her Christmas gift in the oven?
No, I take her out of the kitchen is what I do, and then I make major points. But you know what? In Vicky's defense, she makes a great squash casserole. And she's good with vegetables. I love it when she cooks vegetables. And I'm usually the meat cooker. I'm out, on the grill or something like that.
That's my favorite. It's good meat on the grill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't get any better than that around our house. So, and it doesn't take a whole lot of creativity.
That's right.
A good marinade, some hot coals, and you're ready, man. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. One of the things that Kimberly makes that Samantha just loves and requests it every time people are in town, green bean bundles. Have you ever heard of
them? No, I've never heard that.
Bundles? We have them at Christmas and sometimes at Thanksgiving. But you just get a big, like, just normal, fresh green beans, and you get a whole bunch of them, and then you wrap a piece of bacon with a little brown sugar around it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Kimberly is a great cook. I'm just telling you right now, and that's why I'm, look the way I do.
Yeah, but she's cheating with bacon and sugar in one.
I know. I mean, there should be a law against so many flavors in one food, but none of us are starving to death, I assure you. We love it. When you go on the road, Daniel, everybody wants to. If you go to Texas, every church you go to has to get you barbecue from their best cook or their best restaurant.
That's right.
Or maybe Mexican food if you're lucky.
Right.
But when they find out that you love something, whether it's chocolate or whatever, every church you go to, somebody has made a something that you've just got to try. And so we don't go hungry.
Never, ever, never, ever. When I was drifting out in sin, I had no peace, no joy within. But Jesus came and made me glad. The dearest friend I ever had. When Jesus comes, the way is bright, for he's the way, the truth, the light. He cheers me all when I am sad. The dearest friend
he saved my soul.
Allison Durham Spear. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends today, talking with Allison Durham Spear. Also to my left, Buddy Green. To my right, Gordon Moat.
Gordon and Buddy, you guys have split duties a lot of times at events. You're on stage as a musician, and sometimes you're just there playing an instrument, supporting the band.
Yeah.
Other times, grabbing a microphone and you're leading worship or you're singing, you're the vocal artist, okay? Allison, I don't mean to leave you out of this, but this is the question.
I'm totally comfortable with letting them explain all of their... Great.
You could always share about that kazoo band you're a member of back home. It's a
penny whistle band.
It's a penny whistle band. Yeah. Does on
Come
the
on,
side.
Buddy.
Yeah, small instruments
okay.
only. Yeah. They let me sit in every once in a while.
Yeah.
You can put jewels on them.
I put jewels on them, and I play the juice harp as well.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, here's the question.
That's awesome.
Which one, Gordon, Buddy, do you feel is less pressure? Maybe even less work, maybe less mental stress, playing or singing?
Go, Buddy.
You know, it depends on the, like, if I'm playing on a song I don't really know very well, and somebody, like throws me a solo on a song I'm hearing for the first time, I might tense up just a little bit. But I would say maybe overall I'm probably a little more at ease just being a player.
Yeah.
But I really like it. I like it all. I think the times when I'm stressed a little bit as a singer is when I'm doing something again new for the first time, trying out a new song, or I'm in a new place, a new situation I've never done before. I usually can feel a little. So for me, familiarity is what really makes me relax when I'm with people I know. I love, that's why I love Gaither events so much, because I'm around so many friends, and it just feels like a good pair of shoes. Yeah.
So what would you say, Gordon?
Neither one, really. I'm pretty comfortable in either situation. I enjoy being the artist because you can say what you want to. You know, you can write, you can portray to the audience the what you're going through, the things that you're feeling right now in your life, and those kinds of things. As a player, you know, you are accompanying someone and they are doing that very thing. So my job when I'm a player is to just get out of their way and make them, with what I do, as effective as I can possibly make it. Whether it's, you know, it's dynamically following them, trying to inspire them with something maybe. But I don't, neither one is really pressure to me. I enjoy both. I'm real comfortable with either, I think.
Now, in gospel music, Buddy, I want to counter this back. We'll just have a little argument right here, okay? Do you think the harmonica gets an easier pass, though? Because he can kind of fake it till he makes it. But in gospel music, piano is such an out there, you know that you have to do that lick right on cue.
Well, and the Gaither gig is a real, you know, talking about the Gaither events, the Gaither piano player gig is a pressure.
Oh my God.
It's a pressure situation because... The piano is driving all night long. It's, you know, so, and, you know, Bill is, you know, I got to where I could read his mind pretty good, I think. But still, you would do something that sometimes he'll tell you to do something and you do it and he'll go, no, that's not what I meant. Or that's not, you know. So, I mean, still, you know, I think, though, Buddy does a fine job with the old harmonica.
Let's get real. There's no more pressure out there than when you're waiting to just get that wow, wow, wow. Sure. You got to do it just at the right spot. I mean, you know, it's
knowing when not to play, isn't it, Buddy?
It's what you don't play that makes all the difference.
Well, the harmonica is so unique.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's so unique, it's going to catch the ear.
That's right. It's why that normally, Bill, the signals I get from him are kind of a not now. It's one of those, no.
Go get a Snickers bar.
Yeah, not now.
Okay, Les.
Listen, I really do. I get a lot of invitations from around the world to play my penny whistle for people. So,
there you go.
I mean...
Does it pay well?
It pays nothing. But...
This could be a public service announcement, I believe, right here. I think Allison's looking for work.
What we get a lot of times is very close to nothing, too. So.
He can't do all the penny whistle.
Well, next time Jeff Taylor's sick, you call Allison, right?
I will, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
friend of mine said her little girl received a karaoke machine for Christmas, and they took it out of the box and called her when it was finally hooked up and ready to go. So she came in, and she was so excited the karaoke machine was there. She opened the CD player lid and was super excited. The little girl said, "Mom, I can now make hot chocolate." And Mama said, "Baby, it's a karaoke machine, not a Keurig." And she was so disappointed. "So I can't make hot chocolate with it." And, you know, all this time, Keurig, karaoke to a little girl, it was just a miscommunication.
Right.
Okay, your best, your favorite misheard lyric. Because we've all had them, whether it was an old hymn or whether it's one of your songs. People come up at the table and they say, "I love that song about," and they totally misquote it, but you know what they mean.
Yeah.
What comes to mind?
Oh, gosh. I wish Bob was in on this conversation, because I know he has had, I know Bob has heard, come up here, Bob. Bob, my manager's been with me for 10 years. Bob, you've heard some at the table.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Have you heard any of those?
Yeah, but most of them can't be repeated on the air.
Well, I have, because I don't get to hear those conversations, but I will tell you that there are times when people will come up to me and say, "Tell me, oh, I love that song you sung about Daniel in the lion's den and all this," and I didn't no more sing a song about Daniel in the lion's den, never cut a song about that,
right.
You know.
The most common was if they could see me through her eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember standing in church as a kid, and we would be singing, I think it's His Eyes on the Sparrow, and there's a line in there that says, "When Jesus is my portion." And if you don't enunciate the portion right, and as a kid, and I don't know why I would think this, but I thought the lyric was, "When Jesus is my Porsche, is in the car,
sure.
I have no want, you know, I have no need."
That's it. Imagination there, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah.
So,
what have you got, buddy?
Well, I was trying to think. My little girl, she's not little anymore. She just graduated from college. But when she was about three, I remember she would listen. We were listening to the Amy Grant Christmas album, and it would "Deck the halls with boughs of holly." She would go, "Let's da da da." What are those words? Can you remember?
La 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 la.
No.
That one.
What song?
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Oh,
yeah, Rocking Around.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was that one. And
voices singing, "Let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly."
And so she'd say, "Voices singing, let's pajamas." That's what she thought it was saying. And so she'd sing that back there, and yeah. We always got a kick out of that. But now, I can't tell you how many different titles "Mary, Did You Know" has been called.
Oh, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Man.
Would you do that, "Mary, Don't You Know," one more time? Mary, would you please? That's just one of the neatest, you know.
Just but, touched them.
Yeah. I mean, and
in
fact,
you
very few people get that right. Now, and I have a Jewish friend who lives up the street from me, and he was talking to me about sequels to that song, and he said, "You know, you probably considered Joseph, Did You Know, and all those kinds of things." He says, "But you know, there's a Jewish version you should do called Miriam, Would You Believe?"
Would you believe? And a lot of people out in listening to Daniel Britton Friends may know who you're talking if you mention this guy's name.
Yeah. Well, it's Marty Goetz.
Marty Goetz.
Yeah.
And Marty is just an unbelievable musician. And his IQ, it was probably immeasurable, kind of like Buddy's, just through the roof. But, man, he and his girls are just amazing, too.
And he's hilarious. I love getting together with Marty. He always has some little quip like that that gets me. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
My wife used to think "Hit Me With Your Best Shot," the Pat Benatar song, yes, was "Hit Me With Your Biscuit" when she was little. But there'll be a lot of people that don't know that song.
Well, that's true. That's true.
So.
True story. It was a few weeks ago, and I was teaching. We'd take turns teaching our class at Sunday school, a small group, we call it. But I was teaching on the Apostles' Creed. We were dissecting every little word of the Apostles' Creed, and my week was Pontius Pilate, okay? Suffered under Pontius Pilate, and I'm studying, and there's all these theories about Pilate. I thought, I texted Mark Lowry on the way to church. I said, "That'd be a good song. You could probably go a lot of places with Pilate, Did You Know?" Because, you know, there's so many different takes on it. But the authorship, the musicianship, the vocal talent, Buddy Green, Gordon Moat, more people come to me and say, "I love Gordon Moat. That variety that you do is incredible, and the talent that you bring." And then Allison, you know what I've discovered about Allison lately? Not only the legacy that she's become with her family and also the solo stuff that I remember kind of growing up with, too, you know, in the contemporary realm. And then there's the humor that comes out of Allison Drumspear that I think may surprise a lot of people.
It may. Definitely. How can we connect with me? Just come by the house anytime.
A shack out back?
Yeah, I'll make you some of Granny's chicken and dumplings. Okay. I'll call Gordon's wife and get that chocolate cake recipe, and we'll invite Buddy and Vicky over.
We'll just feed them, okay?
We'll just feed them, take care of them.
I'll never forget. I mean, I always knew she was funny, but when we were all in a shuttle bus coming back from the Billy Graham Crusade, that last one he did in Nashville, we're a whole bunch on that, and this girl regaled us for like the whole trip home talking about her family members. I mean, I was on the floor of that bus. I was laughing so hard. And it was the kind of stuff where you realize, you know, this is too weird to be anything but true.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can't make this
That's
up.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, call me or go to AllisonSpear.com or Allison Spear on Facebook. I like to do Facebook. Yeah. Lots of funny stuff happens on Facebook. Yeah.
You dropped the Durham, or it was too expensive to get a website with all
it's
that in it.
It's too expensive, yeah.
And GordonMote.com,
you
right?
You got it. Yeah. And at GordonMote on Twitter. We also have a Facebook presence. Love to communicate. We love to get your emails. We love to hear your stories. And we're constantly adding dates to our website and our tour schedule. So if you want to know where we're going to be, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and check GordonMote.com out. All the merchandise and, I mean, everything you ever wanted to know is on the website.
And spell it right when you go to Buddy Green, because there is an E.
Yeah, put an E on the end of Green, BuddyGreen.com. We're the uppity Greens.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sure.
Stuck an E on the end there. And you can find me on Facebook. I think it's Buddy Green Music.
It is Buddy Green Music.
It is? Okay, yeah. All right, so anyway, there I am. Right. Yeah.
Thank you guys for taking time for us.
Great to be with
you, Britton friends.
You've been listening to Daniel Britton Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britton Friends.